This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Yeah, I didn't know before I guess we started. I didn't even know you had Instagram. It came on my like suggested follow. I
was
like,
"Do I have Instagram?"
You do.
Unless your mom.
They asked you.
You
do.
That's hilarious.
I was like, "I know this is not him."
Even your daughter.
I followed you. So
oh, yeah,
you know, it's a strange life you're living when your dad comes up as a suggested follow for you, and you didn't know he had
it. Weird.
You had like a couple hundred posts already. I was
really?
Like. You have a lot of posts.
I'm sure Missy's doing a good job.
I'll just welcome everyone to the conversation we're already having. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome back to the Well That's Good podcast. I have two incredible guests on the podcast today. We have Jace, my uncle, many of you are familiar with from Duck Dynasty days. And then I also have his daughter, my cousin, Mia, who as well y'all are familiar with. And if you follow her on social media, you've read the books, you've seen her life. This girl is an incredible light to the world. But today we're just here to talk and have fun. Jace just mentioned he hasn't been on social media in 5 years. So
5 years.
We can all learn a little bit from that.
I made the break. Not sure. Well, I think I was Miss Mia and I were just... You know, when she was, what were you, 14 or 15 years old? And I was trying to do the parental thing. We got to make good decisions with these phones. And we were going through that stage of her life. And somewhere in there, I was just like, and why am I on social media? I mean, yeah. It was just taking so much time in my life. So my family does it for me. So it's a version of me, I guess.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, because people can learn from you, even if it's not necessarily you, but you have a great following, so.
Yeah, and yeah. I think that stuck because next semester I'm going abroad and I don't want to take my phone because, like, I don't know. Like, I just don't like social media. So I went to, like, my, like, carrier service and I was like, I'm going to get a flip phone. He was like, you want to trade in your iPhone for a flip phone? I was like, yes.
Wow.
He was like, you should just buy a new one. Like, just keep your phone if you want to turn it on. He was like... I was like, I'm sorry if that's so weird. But he was like, yeah, no, like, that's a great idea. So,
did you get one?
I'm getting it. They're like $20 at Target. So
what?
I was like,
I love this girl.
Like, I'm just going to get one.
Real
he was
deal.
Trying to get me to buy like the $100 one. I was like, no, I'm just going to. So we're going to bedazzle it, make it cute.
Oh,
so,
my gosh. You're
I'm
about
excited.
To start a trend. Do you know everyone's about to go to Target and get a $20 flip phone?
I'm hoping because I think I could tell a difference in like
wow.
the little things with social media. Like
dang.
The way I listen and like. Honestly, like my memory, I feel like, I don't
wow.
know, like makes my attention span shorter.
Yeah.
So I remember the conversation now because I always felt guilty because, you know, Mia, she was born with a cleft lip and palate. She's had multiple surgeries and she handled the process way more than Missy and I. But it is tough when you're a teenager, but I always felt real guilty because I'm like, she didn't ask to be famous or.
Yeah.
Or be in the limelight, and she was constantly, you know, physically changing,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, teenagers can be mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, you know, we're partly responsible for putting her
yeah.
in the limelight here. And so
yeah.
I was, because I'm like, look, you get your approval from God
mm-hmm.
and the people that love you. And I was trying to shelter her from any,
mm-hmm.
you know, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of that, I think I realized, you know, if I'm going to speak to my daughter about this,
mm-hmm.
I need to view God's approval first
wow.
and the people that love me. And I do a lot of things in the
mm-hmm.
public, and I'm sure there are many comments on all these social media
yeah.
things. But I thought, I think I'm just going to stick to doing what God wants me to do.
It's great.
And not worry about what people think about it. I mean,
it's
if
great.
It goes dreadfully wrong, I'm sure, even though I don't have social media, I will find out.
You'll find out.
But mm-hmm. it seems to be going well.
That's
so.
Great. That's so good. And whenever I think about that verse, you know, you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turned it for good. When
mm-hmm.
I think about Joseph and his life, that is like your life. Like you've had a lot of hard things come at you, but each hard thing I've seen in your life, you take what was meant to harm you, and you turn it for good. And you've not only, you know, continue to show up online and continue to show up in person with a smile on your face, but like you teach people through the process. You're so wise. Even your first answer, I'm like, all right, we could stop for a minute. Everyone could ponder that, that we listen better when we're not on social media. Our attention span, like you have so much wisdom in you. What has that been like growing up famous on social media with the challenges that you face in your life? Has that been hard to like welcome people into the journey? Has it been something you've always embraced, or what does that look like for you?
For me, definitely, a lot of people like in the world, they really just, I guess now like the term is called like clout chasing, but really they just like people that like they think they can get something from. And so I learned that probably in elementary school, like people want to be my friend just because like, oh, your dad, like who's your dad? Like, oh, that's so cool. And so like at the time, even through high school, like I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I guess it would be my friend. But once they found out that I'm just a normal gal, they can't get things from me, they would go move on, find another friend. And it really took a toll on me. And I definitely like noticed changes in myself of like, oh, I need to like put on a mask of like,
well,
I just don't like, it's kind of hard to explain, but like, it's just kind of like a step up of like the normal high school experience. Like, oh, you have to be cool. But like, I was like, oh, like these people want to be my friend. I need to figure out who I can trust. So it definitely took a toll on me. Just because growing up like that. So now I'm like in college, I do have a little bit of a wall. I was kind of scared to go to Christian school because I was like, oh, everyone there is going to know me. But it's really just been the greatest thing ever. Like,
wow.
I've only had like a few instances where I'm like, oh, that was kind of odd. But like someone came up to me and he was like, does your uncle still preach at White Spray Road Church of Christ? I was like, who are you? I don't know who you are. He's like, does your brother still do music in Nashville? And I was like, this is too random. He knew too much. And I was like, this is kind of weird. But I was like, but it's definitely like helped me. More like know whose intentions are good.
Who loves you for you.
And who loves me for me.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, I think it's really cool, Jace, that you're saying like in encouraging Mia to live a certain way, it encouraged you to live a certain way. Because I think it's easy to look at the teenager and be like, oh, you might struggle with your identity, whether you had the cleft lip and palate or not. I mean, I struggle with my identity. We struggle with physical appearance. You struggle with the different things that most teenagers go through. And then on the grand scale of having the whole world have their opinion on you and all that kind of stuff. And even if you're not famous, people feel that. People are like worry about what people think about them, and they worry about what people have said, or a comment can bring them down so much. But people don't expect it as much from you. And I remember my dad sharing with me like things that hurt him that people said on Twitter, people said on Instagram. Were you surprised coming into fame how it affected you in ways that maybe you didn't think it would?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's not something I ever pursued. So I didn't really recognize it at first. I mean, I went through, I think, the normal process of feeling embarrassed at first. I mean, I remember the first time someone asked me for my autograph, and I said, you don't want that. I mean, because I just thought, I cannot physically do this right now. I just hadn't thought about it. But at some point, it got to be a responsibility, because I looked back at my whole life and I thought, God has a plan, you know, for our family. And my number one struggle as a kid, I've been very open about this, was I was very shy. And so I dropped speech because I thought it was some kind, it was going to help me with my grammar. And they were like, no, you give speeches here in front of people. And I mean, I walked out of the classroom.
Dang.
I said, I will never get up in front of people and say anything. So it was a struggle. And really the Holy Spirit, you know, the greatest counselor in the world, and really taught me that if I'm going to be convicted of my faith in Jesus, I'm just not going to be able to be shy about this.
Wow.
And so when I became famous, I thought, well, this is the last thing I would want to have for myself, is to be in the limelight. But I think I'm going to use this as an opportunity. So that's just what I'm going to do.
That's cool.
I hear your stories and I'm like, I have at least 3 times a day on average, probably, somebody come up to me and just start a conversation hey, Jace, I was, and so I have to go through the process. Do I really know you? And most of the time, I don't know them, but they know me.
Yeah.
So I just play along. And
that's real.
It's very awkward.
That's real. Because they know a lot more about you than you know about them. Spring is a great time to start something new, right? So whether it's cleaning or a new hobby or a new audiobook, a good story is always a great way to start a new journey, and Audible has all that you need. I come from a family of great storytellers, so I know Audible is the home of storytelling, which is where I want to be. Audible lets you enjoy all your favorite audio entertainment together in one app. There's always something new to discover, or you can rediscover some of your old favorites. Audible has an incredible selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestseller, new releases, memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, business and more. It is the destination for mind-blowing entertainment with selections of mystery and thrillers that will keep your heart racing. And with next listen recommendations, there's always something irresistible at your fingertips. Plus, members get full access to a huge and growing selection of included audiobooks and Audible originals and even podcasts like Well That's Good. So you can download them or stream them anytime, anywhere. Audible members can also pick one title each month to keep from the entire catalog, which is some serious benefits, y'all. The newly included selection of titles makes your Audible membership even more valuable and gives you the chance to discover your next favorite thing. With thousands of titles available, you're definitely going to find something that you love all in one convenient app. So I know some of you are into, you know, thrillers, crime, mystery. And I gotta be honest, that's not really been my thing. So I told Bella, okay, Bella, tell me what I could like listen to that wouldn't scare me, but I would like be into it. And she told me about this title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And so I started it and John Luke loved it too. And so I'm just now on the cusp of it. And y'all, let me tell you, it is very entertaining. You do want to listen to see what happened next. So if y'all are into that, Audible is a great place to find those too. New members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/Whoa, or just text Whoa to 500-500. That's Audible, AUDIBLE.com/Whoa, or text Whoa to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Like, they're sharing their all the things that they know about you, and then after they share something that they know about you that is pretty personal, and then you have to say, and what's your name? Because you're starting fresh, you know? But it is cool to, like, get to know so many new people. And I think that the thing is, there's a lot of hard things about fame, but there's also like so many beautiful things too. And obviously, you know, y'all have a new TV show and y'all podcast and you continue to put yourself out there. So you're doing it because of that purpose of knowing, you know, even though there are some hard things and there are some weird things, I'm not going to be shy about the gospel, and I'm not going to be shy about what God's doing in our family's life. And I have to fight those things too. Like, part of me wants our little family to just be covered and protected and no one to know my kids' names and no one to know what they look like and all this stuff because the world's scary. But then there's this other part of me that goes, but God has given us this beautiful family, and to really show people what it looks like to love God and to love each other and what a life of faith looks like. And I can point people to Jesus. And so I don't want to be shy about that. You know, that's a gift God's given me to use, and not let my fear or my insecurities get in the way of me showing up and sharing my life. I think one thing that's really cool about our family is that although so much of our life has changed, we haven't changed necessarily. And I love how you were saying this morning you were up at 3:30.
I was.
My husband went hunting with you yesterday.
He did. And I'm going to tell you something really funny.
What's that?
Is your grandpa, my dad, Mr. Phil, I don't know if he couldn't remember his name because he's almost 80 now, but he referred to your husband as Sadie's man.
Sadie's
he
man.
Said, hey, Sadie's man, hand me that bag. Hey, Sadie's man, are you ready? Hey, Sadie's man. And I was like,
that's hilarious.
Are we now naming him Sadie's man?
He probably forgot his name. Well, it was funny because I asked Christian, he sent me a selfie of him in Pebbleville, which, you know, Pebbleville doesn't really take a lot of selfies. So I was like, oh, how was y'all's time together? And he was like, and it was actually really good. He complimented me. He said, Sadie's man has a good shot. And I was like, is that what he called you? He's like, yeah, that's what he called me, but it was nice.
Really funny. We laughed.
He had a great
time. It was one
of
the best hunts that we've had in years. It was
really
fantastic. So I was really glad that he was a part of that.
Oh, he had the time of his life. But I love that y'all are still doing that. Like, you're still hunting in the morning, but that's just what you love to do. What do you feel like doing the things you've always loved has helped you, like, ground you and secure you as your life has changed so much?
It really does. I mean, I commit myself to those 9 months that are not in duck season just to get there and stay true to my roots because I love to do it.
Yeah.
And it gives me an opportunity to kind of go back to when I was 14, looking at God's creation, saying, I think someone made this.
It's cool.
And so that was the first thought I ever had about coming to Jesus was really in a duck blind, you know. My dad,
wow,
your grandpa, you know, had come to the Lord, but it, you know, I was kind of the guy like, this probably won't last or whatever, but it was me outdoors just looking around thinking, well, maybe there is something to this.
That's cool. Yeah.
And so I always have purposefully hunted most of the days mm-hmm. of duck season. And this year has been one of the busiest years of my life because our show went from, I thought we would do one season to we're going to do four seasons in 2 years. And we do 4 podcasts a week. And so I just geared the whole schedule to literally the night before duck season. So I could go duck hunting.
Yeah.
And on the way, I stopped in Nashville and we had dinner together as a family because I had been on the road so much. And, you know, I got kind of teary eyed. I'd just been so busy and I missed everybody. And so it was awesome. And then opening day, I was just like, I just kind of always make this funny analogy that it's like being reborn because you don't hunt for 9 months, then you're born again.
Hey, and, that's cool.
Then you repeat the process.
That's awesome. That's so cool. I love that. I saw those pictures from y'all's night in Nashville and it looked really fun. Mia, I've been seeing you step into being an aunt lately, which is so fun. And also just following along your Instagram is really fun for me because I get to see your life and all the friends you're making and being an aunt. What do you feel like you're learning in this season of your life?
For me, I could talk about how being an aunt is the greatest thing ever for so long because Maris and David are literally like, I watch them a lot and I just love them so much. So it's definitely just like taking each new day. It sounds like kind of cliche, but like as like the best day.
That's
like,
awesome.
I just like waking up every day, especially because I got to go to school a month late because of my surgery. And I didn't think that I was going to be able to go to school this semester at all.
Mm-hmm.
So just I'm like really grateful that it worked out. Like every day I'm like, I get to be at school and I have one in-person class because, you know, that's just how it happened. My surgery, and like, this is the best class ever. Like
that's
making
awesome.
Everything like this is the greatest thing.
Wow.
So,
you know, you said that simple, but that's actually really profound. And that would change a lot of people's life if they looked at life like that. Because I think a lot of people are prone to see what's wrong with their life. It's like, oh, I didn't get to start school for a month later and I'll only get one class. Like the simple change in language of this is what I actually get to do. You know, like I get to still go to school. I have an awesome class. I have two great, you know, I have a niece and a nephew. I have great family. We had a day together. Like when you start seeing the world and seeing life as the things to be grateful for and everything as a gift changes your whole personality, you know, changes your countenance. That's why you walk in here and like your joy is just radiant, which is just so beautiful. But what do you think surgeries, because how many surgeries have you had?
I've had 15.
15 surgeries. So that's no small thing. And these are not like small surgeries. These are intense, hard surgeries. Do you think that having the surgeries you've had in your life have made you who you are in that way? And like, what have you learned the most from those things?
I think it took me a while to just like process it all. Like I didn't really talk about like growing up, like I really didn't talk about my surgeries at all. Like to my friends, like it was just kind of like, oh, got to go to the doctor, got to miss a day of school every 6 weeks and, you know, drove 4 hours to Dallas. And like, that was just like normal. But I just didn't realize that like other people just didn't have this at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in high school, my junior year, I had my 13th surgery, and that's one of, like, the big ones that I have to have, but they break my top and bottom jaw, and that one was really rough, and I was like, yeah, like, they told me, they were like, yeah, we're gonna have to, like, talk to you and make sure that you're all right after, because it's not, like, for like my mental health, because it's not that I think that I'm ugly when I look in a mirror when I'm like swollen and like my face has changed, but it's the fact that my face looks different. And so where like other people may not notice, like, oh, your face kind of looks a little bit different, but it's like my face that I've, you know, known, look in the mirror every day, I know myself, and but it looks different. And so it really affects the way that you live your life. Like in photos, it's not like, oh, I look bad, it's, but that doesn't, that isn't me.
Different, yeah.
So that has definitely been what I'm going through right now after having another big surgery in August. It's not where I'm like, oh, the surgery made me look terrible. It's like, oh, I have to just adjust to the way that it makes me. Like, oh, yeah, I look different, but that's okay.
Wow.
I look good. So that's been, like, my mom has been helping me a lot with that. Because, like, I, you know, lose weight and I don't look like myself. And people say comments to me all the time, like, oh, are you been eating? Like, you look so small. And my mom is like, she literally had jaw surgery. Of course she's not eating normally. So I'm glad for her because she always sticks out for me. But that's just been a little bit different right now. But it has definitely affected me. But it's also made me feel like stronger. Where I know, like, if, you know, I do bad on an exam at school, or like I'm having trouble with like a friend or something, it's like, okay, like
perspective,
like, okay, this thing should not take up this much time, like, I have this to worry about, and like I just need to pray about this. This should not like take its toll on my life. So it's definitely,
it's good.
Maybe become I would say like less dramatic.
Her character has really come out in a positive way. Because what she, just to help illustrate what she said, the two worst times of this process that has been, you know, it started at when she was born. When the people delivering the baby say, leave the room, to the parents, and they're like, we're not sure if she can breathe on her own. I mean, my perspective changed from that day, you know, moving forward. But the two hardest things for us as parents to do was to hand her off, because it was like, we know this is fixing to be terrible for her. They're fixing to inflict a lot of pain and bloodshed, and the recovery time's going to be long. And even though you know it's for the best, which made me really reflect on God sending Jesus. You know, but that was always difficult. And the second thing was, every time she came in recovery, her mom and I, we were devastated. And you're like, why are you devastated? And I remember the doctor would always look like, why are you so upset? Because we, you know, we'd cry. And we would be like, because she's different. Because as parents, you know, when she had her first major surgery, they fixed, I mean, her nose was over here and she had a real big gaping hole. You would think, oh, this is great. But for parents, we had been with her every day, every minute. Those little subtleties, they didn't look like imperfections. They didn't look, you're looking at them like, well, isn't it, she's cute, you know. So her being different was just devastating. And it was every time after that. So I really understood when she started talking about that from herself's view, that that's a big challenge. And big picture, you know, she's never gone 6 weeks without seeing a doctor in her life. Which when you start adding all that up, you see this has been really tough. And I just wanted to add one thing. We were talking about this on the way up here in an unrelated story, but it's like, you know, when she was being a teenager dealing with, because kids can be mean and they say the wrong things, even saying something about her weight now. Well, you know, it's just a terrible thing to say. She's doing the best she can. She realizes, I'm skinny. I can't eat.
I'm eating
through a straw for 2 months.
What
do you think? You're going to lose some weight. But people are trying to say something encouraging. They're like, we're worried about you. And you're like, I'm fine. I'm good. But, and it's just a dumb thing to say. But even having said all that, when she was going through a tough time emotionally, just dealing with all that, you know, I got some advice from a counselor friend of mine. He was like, what you got to realize is what she's had to go through is the equivalent of what our soldiers go through when they go through trauma. And you spend all this time alone and you're recovering from all these injuries. And, you know, they have that term PTSD. And he said, I think you should allow her to talk about that. Because think about, while all the kids were at school through all these surgeries, she's alone suffering. And so when we opened that door, which I thought that was terrible advice, and I was dead wrong. When she had the ability to talk about all the loneliness and all the pain and all the blood and all the other kids that you see going through these terrible surgeries, that just takes a toll on a kid. That's wow. tough. You need to talk about that.
Yeah.
And I really think it was one of the turning points in her coming to grips mm. with the condition that she has.
Yeah.
And it really spurred her to want to help other people. Once she kind of looked mm. back at the old self, you know, to use yeah. a spiritual
yeah.
analogy, she was like, this is just part of it, and it's rough. It stinks. Wow. This is something you got to be willing to walk through. It's a lot of suffering. So I was really proud of
wow.
her.
Wow.
For opening up yeah. about how tough that really was.
Yeah.
And so it really found a home in her character.
Yeah.
To want to help other people.
Wow.
And a joy despite, you know, what
yeah.
the lot in her life.
And I didn't talk about it until I think it was my junior or senior, maybe my senior year.
Yeah.
We're on the way back from Dallas, and my mom was like, hey, we have a Clef kid's mom. Is just really struggling. Her daughter had her first distraction surgery, which is what I had when I was 11. And that was the most painful one I've ever had. They broke, I think, just my top jaw. But, oh, yeah, because then they had to turn it physically every day.
Oh, let's not bring that up. I'll start crying. I mean, we physically had to move her jaw. Well, we.
Yeah. Mom and
Missy did it. I literally couldn't take it. Every day. They had to turn a screw that was moving her jaw forward.
Because your bones are still, like, movable after they break them. So, like, it's, like, it sounds, like, easy, but it's like, oh, they're
easy. It doesn't it's sound just, easy, yeah.
It's just, like,
no, okay,
they're
horrifying. Better.
Yeah, it sounds
they're
really
more, like,
horrible.
Able to move yeah. the quicker after surgery. So, people were like, oh, yeah, like, that key when you have an expander. We're like, no. They're, like, trying to relate. I'm like, no.
No, we're
like,
moving the jaw forward despite her being in complete agony.
It's hard to understand, but, like, it really, that's did what happened. And, like, mom's friend, who was a nurse, she would bring over a little snow cone for me every day. And I would just, like, eat it and wait for my mouth to get a little numb, and then we would do it.
I would walk outside and pray. And,
yeah.
Because I just, I couldn't watch thing. Her suffer to
no,
that degree.
No.
It was just. I don't know.
So oh my gosh.
This little girl was going through that, and like she wasn't even talking to her mom, because I mean, it is your mom that is doing that pain to you, which is just like another level. It's like, it's for the best, kind of like what he was saying, but like,
but
it's hard because she's like, that's my mom. You're supposed to like take care of me.
Yeah.
And she like wasn't talking to her mom. She wasn't speaking. She was just like, hadn't spoken, like was just crying for a couple weeks. And she was like, I asked my mom if she could call us. And I had never even talked about that surgery before. And it had happened like 12 years before that. So I was like pretty nervous. But when the mom called, she was just crying. And she was like, I don't know what to do. And me and mom hadn't even like discussed what we were going to talk about. And I was just like, you're just going to have to like kind of just suck it up. Like you're
wow.
like you're not in pain. Like it's your daughter. You got to do it for her. So when mom would be in my mouth, I would like scream and she'd be like, oh, she'd take her hand, and I'm like, no, you got to do it, girl. You can
wow.
do it. So I'd be like, just do it. So I'm like, it's only bad for like a week and a half. And then it's like every day is a little bit better because you're not a swollen. So, you
yeah,
know, your stitches are healing. So it's okay when people are in your mouth, like with your stitches are healing.
Wow.
So that was when I was like, I think I was kind of like called, I guess. Like I felt, I guess, the Lord being like, you needed to help other people because we did help her. And she was just crying on the phone, like, thank you so much. Like, the doctors just, they didn't really tell me that it was this bad. Like, we just didn't know.
Yeah.
And there's only so much, like, they don't go home with us.
Yeah.
So they don't really know what it's like because they just do it and then they send us on our way. They're like, oh, yeah, you got to do this every day, quick and easy.
Yeah.
And that's just not, like,
not
how it is.
After her first week, I was like, well, I performed terribly. I couldn't even watch. So they take her back to the doctor. We think that's over. You know, I was like, Missy, you got through it. Mia, great job. The doctor says, well, it's not moving enough. So now we have to do it 3 times a day.
Oh,
and I remember
gosh.
Hitting the floor. I just went limp and hit the floor. I was like, 3 times a day? So it's the devil is in the details of all this because it is a tough recovery process that you go through. And you got to remember, from everybody's perspective in our family and from the doctors, we're trying to help her breathe better, talk better, and eat easier. And everybody else is seeing it like, oh, well, you look so much better.
It's
you know,
not
and
about
you're like,
what you look like.
I mean, look, this is way more complicated. We'll get to that later, but get past that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what's so tough about
it's
it.
It's so, like, I'm so glad you're sharing because even me, like, I'm your cousin. I've seen you your whole life, and I just feel like emotional because I just, you don't know. Yeah. You know, you don't, you don't know. And I never knew the extent of what you walk through. And I think a part of that is because I wasn't up close and seeing it, but also it is, you carry yourself so well and you are so strong. And your advice just a second ago was like, every day's a good day. And so it's like, how do you go through that and you live like this? I mean, I can only attribute that to your faith and your parents being who they've been in your life and your community, but you're who you are, who God designed you and knit you together in Missy's womb to be and to become. It's remarkable. I mean, you know, devil didn't know who he was messing with whenever, you know, you're taking these things, but then not only are you just going through them with the strength that you are, but then you have the capacity to then give to others and tell another mom, you're going to have to do this for your kid. Like, you're just incredibly strong. So I think I just didn't realize, because I see you for that strength, but it's so good for you to share just the vulnerability and the authenticity of what it really is like, and like giving people insight in. Because I think just as people, we are so shallow. Like, we're thinking it's like, oh, you look different. It's like, no, I am different. Like, I am different because my life has been different than yours, you know, and what I've learned from it, you can actually learn from. And it's a lot more than being skinny or being different or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I also, even when you were saying that about seeing your daughter and even the things that were different about her was who she was, and it's what you loved. And you being you, looking in the mirror, it might be different, but it's who you are. It's what makes you beautiful. It's what makes you original. It's what makes you unique. So when that changes, it's a tragedy because you're like, no, like that's who I was. But then so many people walk in through life. It's like they so don't like the things that make them different than everybody else. Mm. They try to change. They try to conform. And that's a great tragedy, you know, that they're not recognizing the way that God designed them. And they're taking for granted what they were designed to be. And so you're just painting such perspective for so many people listening. And then even what you were saying, the heart of a father to have to watch their child go through something so hard, but knowing it's for good. I mean, that is the story of the gospel. Like, God so loved the world that he sent his son. Mm-hmm. We say that verse just so flippantly because it's so quotable, but it's like a father sent his son to be in pain, knowing that it would save the rest of us for the greater good and that we would have the hope of heaven. Like, that's crazy love. It's crazy love. Yeah.
One of the things I thought about too is, you know, Jesus, he did so many miracles and he helped people. And so one little subtle thing that you don't really think about is when he had Simon carry his cross, well, you know, he could have just snapped his fingers. It wasn't that he wasn't able to carry his own cross. He could have done it. Just, it would have been a snapshot moment of what God is doing, but he allowed that help. And even though he's given up his life, you know, for all us, and you think, why in the world is that in the Bible?
Wow.
And but you realize the first time that when Mia stepped up and said, you know, I want to help other people, and her charity was formed, which is other kids that have gone through similar things like she has. And look, they've been beaten and battered, and there's a lot of kids that have gone through way worse things, and we've met families that have two kids that have had to go through. We actually have a few of those. But the first time we all got together and invited the families we've helped, which we've helped 170 families, you know,
that's amazing. Now,
and connected them all with each other.
Wow.
Because you need that connection, which, to go back to my point about Simon carrying that cross, there's something about connecting in that.
That's
and needing
beautiful.
Help, even in those smallest of details, that is very powerful.
That's beautiful.
I remember looking around and I remember seeing Mia step up and I thought, they need us.
Mm-hmm.
This is a battered group.
Mm.
So I'm real proud of you.
That's beautiful. This is so sweet. I'm so glad y'all are both the podcast. I had to like fight tears because I'm like, I'm hosting a podcast right now, but everything y'all are saying is just extremely powerful. I'm so proud of you, Mia, like as my cousin, and I have so much to learn from you. I've always learned from you. I just have to tell this story because you're supposed to be in the choir this year at conference. And I really don't know if I'm going to be able to tell this without crying because it was so sweet. But you were going to be in the choir and then the surgery popped up. And you were like, no, I have to be in the choir, Sadie. Like, I've been looking forward to this all year. And your voice is beautiful. You sing so well. And and also just your posture of worship is so beautiful. I would, of course, want you to be in the choir. But you had the surgery. And was it like a week before? I mean, it was like 2 weeks.
2.5 weeks.
It was not much time.
It was not much
time. And so you're basically like, I'm going to have to be in a wheelchair, but I want to do is there anyway. And like everything in me wanted to be like, yes, but we didn't have the wheelchair accessibility up to the stage. And also I was like kind of worried about you. I was like, are you going to be able to be like fully up there and all the hype of it? And like you're 2 weeks post-surgery, like, are we sure this was a smart idea? And I'm like, next year, for sure, no doubt, front row, wherever you want to be in the choir. Shoot, you can lead the choir, you know. But like maybe since the way that it's all accessible, it won't work this year. Mm-hmm. Well, I sat behind you, and I haven't even told you this, but I have a picture of you. I was behind you. I have a picture of you, and you were in your wheelchair, and you were worshiping. Your hands are up. And it just really got me, and I took a picture of it to send you next year. I was going to save it and send it to you next year when you're on stage worshiping because, you know, being on stage is a beautiful thing because you can lead, but like you lead in the private moments so loudly and you lead in the public moments. Like who you are on stage is just a small percentage of what people get to see, a small percentage of just the well of wisdom that you are in your personal life. And I have learned so much from just watching you from afar. That moment was super huge for me because I know how badly you wanted to do it. And it wasn't because you wanted to be on stage. It was just because you wanted to be a part of the room. You just wanted to be worshiping with the room. But you were a part of the room and you were worshiping and you were leading because I sat behind you and I was watching you and you were leading me in worship. And it was just a really powerful thing. So the way you've lived your life is just, it's just beautiful. Like it truly is so inspiring. I love that you brought your Bible too. I noticed y'all both have your Bibles. I know you travel everywhere with your Bible.
I do.
And seeing you now travel everywhere with your Bible. Speak a little bit into, because, you know, we all have incredible parents, both of us, and our family is amazing. Everyone has gotten to see our family on Duck Dynasty and learn from them. Maybe they listen to our family's podcast. Maybe they read our family's books. But there was a time where our faith had to become our own faith, right? And if it didn't, you wouldn't be sitting here with your Bible. You know, you'd be chilling like, I'm Jason's daughter, but you're Mia, and you have your own thing. When do you feel like you shifted from my parents' faith, I'm a part of the Robertson family, to I'm Mia and this is what Jesus did in my life?
I would say beginning of senior year, I like distinctly remember like the switch in me. I got baptized in June of 2021 by like, I guess, Papa Phil. And that was just a really big shift for me. I remember asking God, just like, there was just so much doubt. I just had my major surgery and I was like, Lord, like, I just need to know that you're still walking through my life with me. And I just feel alone. I don't like know who to talk to. I mean, a counselor that summer, her name was Claire, and she would not mind me telling the story, but like literally our lives were just so similar in what we had gone through. And she just gone through just like a hard time in the previous years, and she looked at me and she was like, if I had to go through this again just to meet you and help walk with you through this, like, I would. And she was like, I literally never talk about, like, my past or anything, but, like, I've just suffered just feeling alone, just, like, going through all these things. And just, I thought I had no one with me. And then it was just amazing. I was like, Lord, that was the Lord. Literally, like, you need to tell me this story, Claire. And that was the Lord being like, I'm still with you. And so I decided to get baptized. And then I guess that fall, I decided to, like, really make my walk with Christ. And I could tell the switch even on social media.
That's cool.
I didn't even acknowledge that I had a following. I just posted what I wanted. And if people commented, didn't know, I would delete them. Like, I was like, nope, this is for my friends. Like, yeah. I don't want any part of this. Like, I want to be a private account. Like, I can't do this. Like, I feel pressured. And then I was like, I think, why don't I just use my platform? There's so many people now that would literally, like, they want this. This is what they wake up and they're like, I want to get more followers. I want to get more likes. Like, and I was like, I already have this. Like, I should use it for good. And I posted
cool.
like my first post like about Jesus, and it was like a lengthy one, and I was like, I'm not even called to do this, like I'm not wise at all, like what is this? And it was just like how I see Jesus in each one of my friends and just like
that's cool.
in my life. And I got, I guess, shadow banned. I don't know if that's the word.
Oh wow.
But like lost followers, like likes cut in half. And I was like, I don't care. As long as one person sees it, I don't care.
Yeah.
So I guess ever since then the shift has
That's
like
cool.
I've seen it in myself, and it's evident more in just like how I, it's kind of silly, but like how I type my posts. It's just like I can tell, like I would have never written that.
Yeah.
I was didn't want to like acknowledge Jesus. Like I was like kind of embarrassed. Like I don't want people to criticize me. And I'm like, who cares? Like they need to know this. So I think that's the switch.
Come on, girl. That's awesome. Well, that's what I think. I think, you know, I've heard people say to me, Sadie, I love what you're doing. Like I'm a Christian and I love it. You share your faith, but I'm not going to do that on my platform because I'll lose followers. I'm like, I'll lose followers too.
Yeah.
But that's not, I'm not posting about my faith to gain followers. Mm-hmm. I'm posting about faith because I believe one is the most important thing in my life. I believe that's the best thing I could give anyone. If people are going to follow me, then the only real benefit that would be is if I'm leading them to follow Jesus, you know, if I'm giving them something of value, if I'm influencing them for good. And so I'm like, you know, I think for the people saying that, if they really would taste and see how good God is, if they really had a true relationship with him, then I think the value of having followers, that would just start to minimize, you know, because that's not as important as people really knowing the good news of Jesus. And so I love that you had that shift and you're like, nope, this is what it's all about. And we actually, Ella Worship, we just wrote a song. It's not out yet, but it's called Followers. And it's basically like, I don't care if it costs me followers as long as I'm following you. And that's like the whole premise of the song because that cannot be, you know, I think so many of us, we're so, we're like conformed by, truly conformed by the pattern of this world and not transformed by the renewal of our mind. And so I love that you're doing that. Speaking of sharing the gospel, I know on y'all's TV show, you're about to, did you just preach the gospel or something on this last episode? Tell us about what that looks like for
We do a lot of things, and I've been doing this treasure hunting show, which has been fun. And it has a Duck Dynasty feel in that, you know, because I got this idea from the Bible. I mean, there's a lot of illustrations about finding lost treasure and then it causing joy. I mean, the whole Luke 15 is Jesus is eating with tax collectors and sinners, and the Pharisees, the religious people, are like, well, who's he? He's claiming to be religious, but look who he's with. I mean, he's with the riffraff here. No upstanding religious person would be doing that. So Jesus tells three stories. And the most famous one is, you know, the lost son. But there's one about finding a lost coin in there and about the joy that happens not only on earth when you find something of value that's lost, but in heaven. There's rejoicing in heaven. And for Jesus to use that as an illustration for why he loves every single person, no matter what they did, I thought, maybe I should try treasure hunting. I mean,
that's cool.
So I got into it. And the irony of the show is, what is the true treasure? It's a subtle irony in all the episodes, even though we're finding all this lost history and relics and old coins. You figure out it's not about what we find. It's what, how do you really define true treasure? Sometimes it's the 75-year-old lady who is so hospitable the whole episode became about hospitality
because
she was just awesome. So we did a Christmas episode, but it was the first episode that I watched that I was really proud of.
That's cool.
It's coming out December 17th on Fox News. It's available, you know, pay-per-view on Fox Nation, but on the 17th, they're just running it. And, it was not really our intent. It was about family. That was kind of the theme, but it just morphed into how God gave up his family for us so that we could be a part of a forever family.
Hmm.
And somewhere in there, Jesus was highlighted, and especially in the last few minutes of it. But Emil was there, and she sang fresh off of surgery. You were talking about that, and I thought about that.
Wow.
I mean, I think your mouth was still wired, but you played the piano and sang.
Me and Reed did a little worship song.
Wow.
Together.
Yeah, and she's fresh off of surgery. And it was just, it seemed real. It seemed authentic because it was. We just Christmas a little earlier so they could film it, but it felt like Christmas.
It felt like Christmas.
we just went all board, and our show's not scripted, so we just did Christmas together.
That's awesome.
And so I'm really proud of it. And I want to end with this because when Mia played that night, and we sang a couple songs, and they played it at the end, and it was downright moving. I was moved just because we really were focused on our family and how God has brought our family together and who Jesus is. But when I saw the transition in her life, is because she would constantly be bored when she would go through a surgery and find ways to just get through the day. Mm-hmm. One of them, she played the piano, and she plays it really good. But before she had this transfer to the Lord, she played the piano. And so just her, the emotion.
You want me to say it or no? So he's told me this story before, but like when I would play, it was just like chords and things. And then whenever I like, you know, turned to God, I would play worship. Even last night we're playing worship. And now it's like, it was like when I used to play, it was just a scheduled song and I would just practice it. And now like, it'll be 40 minutes of, we'll just be playing and it's all spontaneous. I do worship nights at school now and it's all, we'll be there for hours. It's just all spontaneous because it's like, gave my life to the Lord. I got his Holy Spirit and he's guiding me. And it's like, I'll be playing a song and then a song will come to my head from that I haven't heard in 4 years. Mm. And it will just like, oh, hey, like I can just, it's literally just the Lord. And I just didn't have, like, I wasn't following him like my own faith before.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what you were going to say.
I'm thinking I'm good now. Wow. But what I was going to say is she couldn't talk, but you could, you know, I'm just sitting there listening. I was like, I can tell the Spirit has moved into her life just from the passion of the chords. And I'm not a musician other than blowing a duck call. That qualifies. But the reason I get moved about the last time I told this story, I got moved at the Miamu event and I couldn't talk for 5 minutes. But, and I'm fine with crying because Jesus wept. And I never cried till we have Mia. I was never a crier.
Wow.
But, you can't help but cry. It's sad. But I just thought, man, isn't that cool that even though she can't speak and she's recovering through this surgery, you literally can sense her spirit in the way she's playing the chords.
Wow.
And it was joy despite incredible suffering.
Wow. Oh my gosh. You know, normally I'm I can sit through a podcast and I cry later. This has been the most like, fight your tears to get through a podcast in the best way, though. It's just beautiful. And I think, like, Mia, something that is so true about your life is it's really what you just said. Like, she wasn't able to talk, but the gifting that God put in your life and being empowered by the Holy Spirit and the fruit of who he was just flowed out of you in the form of music. But even beyond just you sitting by the piano, it's the same thing. You don't have to even talk. You're so filled with his spirit. You're so filled with his love. And you say things like they're so casual, but they're so huge. Like if someone got what you said so casually spoken, it would change their life. You said, yeah, you kind of were like, oh, I take over for him. You know, basically, you know, I gave my life to the Lord. I got filled with the spirit and I can just do this. That's profound, you know, like you gave your life to the Lord. He is faithful to his promise and filled you with his spirit. And you were able to do something you could not have previously done that not only blesses you, but it blesses everyone around you. And friends who are listening, it's the same for your life. Like getting invited into a relationship with the Lord, giving your life to him, realizing that John 3:16 is not just a great verse to quote, but it's a great idea of the love. It gives you a great picture of the love of God that he truly gave his son to die on the cross for you so that you could have an opportunity to be in relationship with him and be empowered by his spirit now before you even get to heaven to receive the gifts of heaven right here on earth to minister to others around you. Like if you get that in your life, everything changes right now. Everything changes for you. I'm so proud to be a part of this family and I'm so proud to learn from both of you. I'm so excited that y'all's show has done as well as it's done. It's continued to put more episodes out there because people need a godly example out there in the world. I'm grateful for y'all just preaching the gospel and staying true to who you are. And Mia, God is just beginning beginning, I believe, all the ways that he's going to use you. And I know social media can be annoying. I know it can be frustrating. I know it can be tempting to quit, but I hope you don't, because people need to learn from someone like you. You're an influencer worth following, and you have a lot to say. So go get your flip phone, live your best life, and then come back and get back on your iPhone and show the world what a light looks like. So thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.